Please be seated. Today we will be in Deuteronomy 14, and it is going to be a fun, exciting thing, because as Pastor mentioned, we're talking about tithing. But before we do that, we got to talk about what you can and cannot eat. Now, as you guys are flipping to Deuteronomy 14, I want you to take a look at the sermon title. It's very creative. It's Be Different. And if any of you, probably born after 95, were in any elementary school, middle school, or high school, you probably remember things such as DARE or other programs as such, where their whole slogan was, Be Different. Okay, and? There's so many things we can be different. I remember from the DARE presentations, it was dare to resist. Don't do drugs. Don't do alcohol. Be different. I can't buy them, so why are you telling me now? But as we go through this, I want you guys to think, why should you be different? We have many things throughout Deuteronomy telling us what we can and can't do, which was done as a way for the Israelites to be told, like, hey, you're in this new place. It's going to be weird. There's going to be a lot of things you don't know. Be different than everyone else. But we can eat whatever we want. We can give as much or as little as we want. So how do we be different? I want you guys to be thinking about that as we go through the passage today. Deuteronomy 14, starting at verse 1. You are the children of the Lord your God. Do not cut yourselves or shave the front of your heads for the dead, for you are a people holy to the Lord your God. Out of all the peoples on the face of the earth, the Lord has chosen you to be his treasured possession. Don't disfigure yourself for the dead. It's real simple, real easy. But there's a lot of cultures where that's exactly what you do. For men, a very common thing that happens is you shave off all the hair, just every single bit of it. In fact, there are tribes that do such that. Actually, Catholicism used to do that a long time until they outlawed it in 1972. It was called tonsure. And it's this thing where you would see the monks when they have that ring of hair. That was because they were grieving for someone, which I don't think a great way to grieve the dead is to purposely start balding yourself. Another thing is that there is a tribe in Papua New Guinea where they cut off their fingers as a way of grieving for the dead. Which raises a lot of questions to me why we think some of these things are good. We're told more than once that we are children of God, that we are his blessed creation. And yet some of our first thoughts are to change how we physically are for the dead. Now, the reason why I'm focusing on this is to be different. At no point in the Bible does it tell us that we should cut ourselves for the dead, that we should change how we look for the dead. And that's because death is just this temporary thing for us, because we're going to meet them again in heaven. This isn't the end of any of our stories. It's just a temporary break. So when we have that next time, when we meet them, we're going to see them just as God made them, as they are. So why are we disfiguring ourselves now? Sometimes that disfigurement, it can be seen as public grieving. But then we're taking away from the dead by showing our grief, trying to get sympathy. That's not how we be different. That's when we put ourselves first instead of God. We're going to be going on to talking about what you can and can't eat. And as we do this, I want you to remember to be different. Death is only the temporary thing now, and we're going to see them again. So being different is not making a big show, because we're going to see them, and it is this glorious thing. But we're told that we can eat whatever, so why does it matter whatever we can and can't eat? Starting at verse 3. Do not eat any detestable thing. Already a great start. These are the animals you may eat: the ox, the sheep, the goat, the deer, the gazelle, the roe deer, the wild goat, and the ibex, the antelope, and the mountain sheep. You may eat any animal that has a split hoof divided into two, and an animal that chews the cud. For those of you who don't know, because I had to look it up myself, the whole chewing the cud thing is animals that eat grass. They'll regurgitate it and then re-eat that to help digest it better. I did not know this until this sermon. However, of those that chew the cud or have a split hoof completely divided, you may not eat the camel, the rabbit, or the coney. Although they chew the cud, they do not have a split hoof. They are ceremonially unclean for you. The pig is also unclean. Yeah. And here's the exact reason why, which is sad because I ate bacon this morning. The pig is unclean, although it has a split hoof, it does not chew the cud. You may not eat their meat or touch their carcasses. Of all the animals that live in the water, you may eat any that has fins and scales. But anything that does not have fins and scales, you may not eat it. For you, it is unclean. Okay, quick caveat before I get into 11. We're going to talk about a lot of flying things. In Hebrew, there is no distinction between birds and insects. If it's flying, it's flying, which includes all birds, all bats, all insects that fly. Little caveat before we move on. You may eat any clean bird, but you may not eat these. The eagle, the vulture, the black vulture, the red kite, the black kite, any kind of falcon, any kind of raven, the horned owl, the screech owl, the little owl, the great owl, the white owl. There's so many owls. The desert owl, the osprey, which is also a seagull. The cormorant, the stork, any kind of heron, and the hoopoe, and the bat. All flying insects that swarm are unclean to you. You do not eat them. And any winged creature that is clean, you may eat. Which I think at this point just leaves like turkeys and chickens. Do not eat anything you find already dead. You may give it to an alien living in any of your towns, and he may eat it. Or you may sell it to a foreigner. But you are a people holy to the Lord your God. Do not cook a young goat in its mother's milk. Great way to end this off. So now that I just listed everything you can and cannot eat, let's play a little mini game called Is This Kosher? I'm going to give you guys some food, and you're going to tell me, is it kosher or not? Let's do an example. Can you eat steak? Yes. Yes. Can you eat a lamb kebab? Yes. Yes. Can you eat a bacon cheeseburger? Yes. I'm getting to that, but the answer is no. For two reasons. Can't eat don't cook a goat in its mother's milk, and then obviously the good old bacon. Next, can you eat a horse? No. Can you eat a swordfish? Yes. Can you eat shrimp? No, because it does not have scales and it does not have fins. Now, can you eat a grasshopper? Yes. So here's the caveat. So it just said there's a lot of winged things you cannot eat and insects you cannot eat. But earlier in Leviticus, he mentions that if its knees are above its body, you can eat it. Which is such a weird thing, but that means grasshoppers and locusts are on the dinner plate. So I just listed all these things of what you can and cannot eat. And for a lot of the cannot eats, it makes a lot of sense. If you don't cook pork fully, you're probably going to get parasites and die a very slow, painful death. Not eating vultures makes sense. They eat the dead, which last I checked, the dead aren't very healthy to eat anyways. So if you eat a vulture, you have a higher chance of getting some kind of disease and, well, then dying. And so on and so forth with a lot of these other animals. Some of them just aren't very meaty, like rabbits. You can get rabbit starvation. It's a very unique thing to rabbits because all the nutrients is literally just in their head and the rest of their body has nothing nutritional for us. Yeah, I know way too many things from looking at this sermon. I'm sorry. So we have all these things that we can and cannot eat. But if you flip your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 10, we're going to have a little contradiction. 1 Corinthians 10, and then we're going to be at verse 25. It's the one right after Romans. Okay, starting at verse 25. Eat anything sold in the meat market without raising questions of conscience. For the Lord, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. If some unbeliever invites you to a meal and you want to go, eat whatever is put in front of you without raising questions of conscience. That is a great thing. I can have my bacon cheeseburger. Yeah! So then what's the point of being told what we can and cannot eat? For the Israelites, this was a really big deal. It was being different than everyone around them, because everyone around them would eat whatever. But the Israelites were told there are specific things you cannot and cannot eat. You need to be different. But we just read in 1 Corinthians that we don't have to follow these rules. We don't have to specifically limit our diet to like 5 different meats. So then how do we live this out? I can go eat a bacon cheeseburger. I don't have to worry about if it's kosher or not. But it's more, how do you live differently? So I'm going to ask you that right now. How do you live differently? You could do it by being forgiving. You could do it by being kind. You could do it by always caring. How do you be different? By being Christian, we have a heart to serve. To care for others. Give thanks to the Lord for everything. Eat chocolate. Love the unlovable. Yeah. Being Christian is not the easiest thing in the world. But we be different by emulating God. By loving those that society sees as less. By loving those who grind our gears so much. By caring for others no matter what. How we be different isn't by what we eat. It's not by wearing tassels on our clothes, having like 3 different haircuts we can have. It's by what we do. If you guys remember when I was talking about the first commandment, I was talking about how you honor that is by showing what you are, which is being a Christian. Saying you're a Christian and having Christian actions aren't always the same thing. That's how you be different. We have a lot of people today that are Christian in purely name. And we show that we are different by doing those Christian things. We love our neighbor all the time. When they're annoying us because they think they're right and they're yelling at our faces, we love them anyways. Because we're not told to bash down our neighbor and hate them. We're told to love them. When our neighbors decide to fall into an addiction, we don't leave them by the wayside and leave them there for the world to take care of. We are there taking care of them. Yeah, there might not be ways we should take care of them, like giving them money, but giving them food, giving them shelter, helping them through their dark times. That's what we do. If our friend, our neighbor, has depression and they are spiraling down, we love them and are there for them. Because God is always there for us. At no point does he ever leave us, and I think that's an important thing to remember. He always loves us and he's always there. And that's how we are different as Christians. Now, yes, that's a very huge departure from what you cannot eat. But the idea is to be different. And the actions that you do, don't just say you're different, but by actually doing actions, show that you are different. Now we're going to get to Pastor Mark's favorite part of the Bible, tithing. Who's ready?
Give me your money.
We're going to go back to Deuteronomy this time. Deuteronomy 14, and we are going to be starting at verse 22 as I find my page. Starting at verse 22. Be sure to set aside a tenth of all that your fields produce each year. Eat the tithe of your own grain, new oil, new wine, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks in the presence of the Lord your God at the place he will choose as a dwelling place for his name, which we know is Jerusalem, so that you may learn to revere the Lord your God always. But if that place is too distant and you have been blessed by the Lord your God and cannot carry all your tithe, which would be a great blessing if I had so much I couldn't just move it to Jerusalem, then exchange your tithe for silver and take that silver with you and go to the place the Lord your God will choose. Use the silver to buy whatever you like, cattle, sheep, wine, and other fermented drink like beer, or anything you wish. Then you and your household shall eat in the presence of the Lord your God and rejoice. And do not neglect the Levites living in your town, for they have no allotment or inheritance of their own. Okay, guys, so why aren't you giving me a tenth of your wealth right now? Heather just said invite me to the party, and I'd love to be at that party too. So we're just told to tithe 10%. And if we look throughout the rest of the Torah, sometimes that 10% is more like 30%, and sometimes it might be more. And then we have Paul later saying, give what you can, and if it's more than 10%, give that. But the idea of tithing, again, is to be different. How many of you can make a cattle grow just by sheer willpower of your own? How many of you can make a plant grow by sheer willpower of your own? How many of you can make someone fall in line and follow your commands just by willing it? How many of you could build a church overnight just by willing it? I can't do any things either. But that's not the point of me saying this. Because God gives us everything. He's given us the families that we have, the friends that we have, the bodies that sometimes creak like old wooden churches. He gives us the fuel we need in our car. He gives us the money to live, the air to breathe, the ground to walk on. Everything is the Lord's. So when we take that 10%, we're not giving him 10% of our skill because I can't make the trees grow and then cut them down and turn them into furniture. I can't make a whole entire field grow overnight, but God can. And he's blessed me by having that happen. So that 10% that I give isn't 10% of my own strength going to God. It's giving God back his. Now let's talk about those Levites. They have no allotment of their own. They kind of got shafted when it comes to the 12 tribes, where they don't have any land, they don't have any property, which means they can't grow anything. They can't grow any flocks, any herds, any crops. But God still provides for them by having that 10% go to them. And even in that 10% the Levites are given, they give back to the Lord, because the Lord has blessed them. Searchlight is great because we are so open about everything. If you walked into Mark's office on a random Tuesday and asked him to look at the books, he'd do it. And that's to show that we're not hoarding our money like dragons. There's no secret basement none of you know of where we just turned all that into gold coins and we just go swimming like Scrooge McDuck every other Thursday. We give back to everyone. Whether it be doing stuff for owls, whether it be doing stuff for trunk or treat, for Easter, for any events that we have. Everything that we do goes back to the people. And that's part of that whole being different. We love everyone no matter what. And that 10% isn't us just saying, oh, look at the money that we could get. It's the how do we love everyone else. I will admit, I do like getting a paycheck. Thank you for giving your 10%. But there's more. There's more. Because that 10% also goes to any mission trips that we do. It goes to every Bible study that we do. It goes to everything we do here at Searchlight. It's because of you. The 10% that the church gets is because you guys have understood that God has blessed you. He's given you this church, this family. And that 10% is instead returning to God what he has blessed you with. That amazing electrical job that you have. That amazing church worker job, which seems to have fallen out of the sky like a blessing. The ability to have hobbies is all because God has blessed you. And when we give that 10% back, we are thanking the Lord for all that we do. It's not this thing of, oh, God gave me everything, so I have to give 10%, otherwise he'll take it away. But it's in recognition that I could not of my own power have made this without God's help. Every 3 years, the Israelites were told to give 10% so that it could be used for everyone else, for the fatherless, the widowed, and for the foreigners. And I want you to think of, as I read that portion, why it's so important to do that. Starting at verse 28. At the end of the 3 years, bring all the tithes that year's produced and store it in your towns, so that the Levites and the aliens and the fatherless and the widows who live in your towns may come and eat and be satisfied, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. I think one of the greatest things that Christians have ever done is made orphanages. If you look it up, the first orphanages were made by Christians. And that's us going, there are people we need to love. Those who don't have those families but need one. And now we've taken it a step further. We're also in social work. We have a church just right down there. First Lutheran, Holy Houses. I thought it was that way. Yeah, okay, it's that way. it houses the Lutheran Social Services. And I'm sure there's a bunch of other things to that name I'm not going to remember. But the idea is that they are taking God's command of take care of those who can't, because I take care of them. God doesn't brand himself as the God of the mighty, the God of the powerful, the God of the strong, of the conquerors. He's the God of the little guy, the God of the orphans, of the fatherless, of the ones who can't take care of themselves. If we were to look at many times when Jesus speaks, he is the shepherd, because lamb are stupid, and they need someone to take care of them, because if they didn't, they'd die. And honestly, we need to take care of not only ourselves, but of others too. Those lambs that are so dumb are also us. There are times where we can't take care of ourselves and we need others to take care of us. Now, I'm not saying that you should give up 20% of your wealth every 3 years, though that would be nice because then you could help others, but put your money where your mouth is. You say you are Christian and you say you care for others and you say you love others. Show that. Whether you do that through donations to Lutheran Social Services, or you do donations to the Boys and Girls Club, or you volunteer there and give your time there, do what it needs to do. Do what you need to do to be different, to show that you are Christian. Some of us don't have money because we're broke and we're still in school. Then give your time. Some of us don't have a lot of money, and that 10% might be $5. Give that $5 and do what you need to be different. I think the best thing that we have in Christianity is that God loves us no matter what. Because there are times where that 10% is so, so tempting to keep. And we go, oh, you know what? I'll just give up 10% of my time. Thankfully, God loves us anyways, even when we think we know better than him. But it's being different that we need to do all these things. And we be different by loving those who need love. And we be different by being there for others. Whether that there is by giving money or it's by spending our time there, we be different. So with that, join me in prayer. Dear Lord,